You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when it turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our conversation today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am so happy that you're here and that I'm here and that our guest today is here. We truly have an honor today, wisdom of the elders. And whenever our elders join us, we know we're going to learn something wonderful. I'll ask our elder to please introduce yourself to us.
My name is Grady Pettigrew. My professional position was as a judge and an attorney, and I'm here today because I have survived to reach the age 81, so I qualify as an elder.
Well, we are so thankful to you and grateful for you and thankful that you've made it to 81. What a blessing that is. And we are very grateful for you and thank you for all you do for us, all you mean to us, and all the love that you share with us. We are very, very thankful, and we thank God for you, and we thank you. Well, as an elder, you have a lot to teach those of us who are not elders yet, and we are very excited to learn from you and listen to you today. And I'll start by asking you, what wisdom is on your heart to share with us right now?
Well, the greatest concern I have right now is wellness of individuals, of you as a person, and those in your family, and those that you care about or even love. And the reason I say wellness is because wellness is that broad concept. It's not just health. It's broader than health. Health is certainly one of the elements, but we have lots of people who are not well, and we have a difficult period of time right now, and we could spend a lot of time identifying why they are not well or they do not feel well. But I think that in this entire period, there are some strategies for increasing and in some cases even identifying wellness for yourself and for others. So when I look at it, it's not even a joke. There are many people who, when they've encountered a person who's 100 years old or older, they ask the question, how do you get to be 100 years old? And the answer that I've heard that is most true as well as most entertaining is that you do it one day at a time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's no person who all of a sudden woke up and they have that age. But the thing that many people miss is that it's not simple, accomplishment. It is, in fact, something that you have to work at. Wellness in the general culture is something that is being addressed by experts, not limited to the, quote, health experts, but I found a definition that I found very helpful. Wellness is the act of practicing healthy habits on a daily basis to attain better physical and mental outcomes, so that instead of just surviving, you are thriving. To understand the significance of wellness, it's important to understand how it's linked to health. On a daily basis, there are people who experience all kinds of things that are upsetting, that to the extent that they actually are frustrating and divert their energy from the positive things that they could be engaged in, and can end up utilizing their energy looking for revenge or doing all kinds of things. But in my age group, one of the things that we elders encounter are things that are negative to our overall health. So, for example, high blood pressure can be the result of frustration. It can be the result of anger and many, many disappointments. Well, blood pressure is one of those elements of health that we all depend on, but when they are excessively high, they carry with them risks that we really should not be tolerating. Risks of one of the, for many, many men, one of the concerns is stroke, some sort of brain misfunction. And overall, in days gone by, when I was a young man, people talked about being healthy or well, body, mind, and spirit. As I was doing some research for this, I find that these experts now have expanded the conversation to wellness on a spiritual basis, financial, emotional, intellectual, physical, social, and environmental basis. And I said, well, who's actually promoting that? Well, one of the major companies in our country is Pfizer. Pfizer is one who's written on that. And I was comparing it to the International Council on Active Aging. And they're written evaluation of wellness as well as encouragement, both are very similar. So when we talk about it, unfortunately, when I look at the issue of wellness, and I spend a good deal of time with veterans projects that I work with, as well as veterans who are my friends and neighbors. And one of the biggest problems is that veterans have encountered a situation where their overall wellness was threatened. From as simple a thing as getting an order, I'm old enough that when I was a young person, there was a draft, conscription. Mm-hmm. So there were people who got a letter from the Defense Department that said, you are going to report for active duty in the military. And really, you don't have anything that you can do about it. I know there are some news stories about people going to Canada, people buying medical reports so that they could disqualify themselves. But the people that I knew, the people I grew up with, weren't in either of those categories. Their point was, you're going to go. And is it stressful to get that notification? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And of course there are other elements that are stressful for veterans as well, because in my age group the activity that was most threatening was the Vietnam War. So I had two elements. One was report for active duty on this date, and the other one was almost a year to the date, later a letter that said, you will be serving in Vietnam for a 12-month period. Now, for many people who've never seen that, they say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, when you have absolutely no control of what's happening in your life, it can be very stressful. And stress is a major component of what endangers and threatens your sense of wellness. So, and I know since that time, we've had other areas of war, what they call the Gulf War, the war in Afghanistan. And there have been skirmishes all over the place. And in our military service, there was always some person in uniform who went to those places. And all I'm trying to describe is the most stressful part of that, to start with, was the notification that this is what's going to happen to you. Now, when you get there, it's a totally different thing because in most instances, you have no clue as to who's going to come home, who's going to be the tragedies, the losses in those military conflicts. But what we're talking about today is wellness in that situation. And so there, my service was as a medic. The medics worked hand in hand with the chaplain. The chaplain was trying to encourage people to rely on faith or other elements to maintain a sense of wellness. The medics, we were charged with actually dealing with medical issues. Certainly, wounds would be in the high category. But mental wellness was also one. And I know that in whatever the conflict, those are two elements that were there and had to be dealt with. Right now, we have a situation in our culture where we respond to publication and broadcast. Publications, when I was a youngster, it was almost a charge that you needed to read at least one newspaper on a regular basis. And there were people who read two or three. And the point was to stay informed on what was happening in the world. Well, now we have the 24-hour news cycle. And the 24-hour news cycle would lead you to believe that if you pay attention to the news cycle, you'll know what's going on in the world. Unfortunately, that's not really true. You'll know what they want you to know, and I'm going to question whether the total of the broadcast or the news cycle is true. That's a whole different conversation, a whole different time. But the fact of the matter is that in my age group, with my friends and family, we still subscribe to that adage that we ought to know what's going on. And so we spend a lot of time listening, reading, and in some instances even researching, trying to know what is going on in the world. And we certainly concede that what's happening in the world is important. The problem that I think that most of us can do very little about is the honesty or integrity that comes with the broadcast and or the reporting. What I also know is that there are some things that we can do that will actually help us as individuals, family members, and groups to support our wellness. So a moment ago I talked about what is wellness. Obviously, if you were to be working with a saw and cut yourself, you need medical attention to deal with the cut. But the overall sense of safety, the sense of things being in a reliable situation, those are in that category of wellness. And one of the most important things in wellness is the support of yourself, your family, your friends, and your community. And interestingly enough, there's very little time actually spent on the issue of how can we support our individual wellness.
Mm-hmm.
In preparation for our conversation today, I looked at the issue of what is recommended. And I'm going to recommend from my own research, spending equal time. For many people, they will start the day with a broadcast, and in many cases, they will spend hours of the day with broadcast. So why would I raise the issue of equal time? It is reported that watching broadcasts or even reading newspapers or political journals can be very stressful. So what is this equal time comment? My review says that if we were to devote the same amount of time that we spend on those publications and broadcasts on something that is edifying and that is actually uplifting, we might, in fact, improve our wellness. Most individuals do not have a strategy for improving wellness. We have strategies for a good diet, and in many cases, what do you need to recover after a full day's work session and what have you. But I'm looking a little bit beyond that. As I said, I spent a lot of time with veterans, both friend and family. But one of the things that veterans of my age encounter is that most of us, the large majority of us, are male. I know that there are plenty of female veterans now, but the thing that is different is that men respond differently to the issue of wellness. And an example of that is the concept of fellowship. Men, when they get together, will look for a common denominator. What is it that we're interested in? What is it that we pursue? And way up on the list is sports. But there are many men who, based on their faith commitment, are engaged in Bible study. There are many men who are interested in games, cards and otherwise, puzzles, music, jazz clubs all over the country, chess, fishing, travel, actually traveling and then reliving the trips. Family activities, all the way from a cookout to gathering for some special occasion, birthdays, some celebration. Cooking and culinary skills. I happen to come from a family where there was a lot of competition in who could cook and who was the best cook. And I'm sure there are other families where that's the case, because I've heard boasting of people who's they have a recipe that is the most outstanding, and of course that's subjective, but also it's a source of entertainment. But there are men who study history and languages and spend time reading and study culture. There are some belief that music, including jazz, is a cultural experience, but there's also dancing and performing. There is gardening and collections, restoring classic cars. Those are the kinds of activities that come off my mind immediately to say there are people who pursue those because they actually help them to exist or to survive in that safe space, which is away from all the conflict. That we have a culture which said, when you want to tell people about what's happening in the world, if it bleeds, it leads. So we had many, many people who, you look at what's happening, and say, well, now we're not going to look close because there was a terrible car wreck over there or a fire, or and so the fact that it bleeds is going to get people's attention. So, well, what about the fact that there's a youth group that's actually out doing positive things? Well, you might want to report that, but it's not going to get the same attention that something that bleeds gets. So when I talk about equal time and getting away from those stressful things, it's to avoid that. Much of the work that I've done in the community was under the umbrella or the logo of sanctuary. Sanctuary just means a safe place. And so for 40, almost 50 years, I've been encouraging, when I did a lot of community work with volunteer groups and especially with young men, most of it was under Sanctuary Institute, safe space. And I have to say that I certainly recognize the importance of the concept of safe space, but I hadn't developed my understanding of how important that was until I had people coming to our events and gatherings and actually both experiencing what we were teaching as well as supporting the effort that we were making to help people. For this purpose, for our conversation today, what I'm actually asking is that people spend a few minutes looking for their personal strategy for wellness. What are you going to do for your own benefit, but also for those around you and those that you care about? Mm-hmm. And you've used the action step. What is your plan? What is it that you're going to do? Because what they say in New York or California may be different from where you are. What is your plan? And is it a plan that works? The fact is that everyone's time is important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is the commodity that we can't, it's a scarce commodity, and we can't increase it. We can't say, well, all of a sudden I'm going to make another week because I need, no, you have, the time that is expired is the time behind you. The time that you look forward to is the time that by grace you receive. But you can't increase it, but you can determine how you're going to utilize that time. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to protect your wellness? And what I'm recommending is if you just looked at one day and said, if I divert my attention from some concept of what you need to know, and go to a concept of what will be beneficial to you in terms of your health and overall wellness, that is a good plan, and it has very low cost.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what's offered in the United States is with a price tag. If you get a membership in a gym, it has a cost. I don't care if they tell you you can terminate your subscription tomorrow, you still had to pay for today. But dealing with your overall wellness and your mental state, you can do that with little or no cost. In the context of the veterans groups that I've mentioned, one of the things, in addition to all the work about honoring and recognizing the service of veterans, the Veterans Administration is responsible for health care of so many veterans who've experienced everything from Agent Orange in the Vietnam War to burn pits in the Gulf area and Afghanistan, and all kinds of, being around the fuel in an aviation unit, fuel which is very toxic, jet fuel and so, which is very toxic. There are all kinds of things. But the Veterans Administration is responsible for health care for those who went and who served and returned in need of medical care. But the interesting thing that I've looked at now for a few years is how much they focus on total wellness, not just dealing with that particular medical diagnosis, but actually encouraging group participation of a simple thing. Now, there's a recognition from Veterans Administration that veterans benefit from artistic expression. So you may go to a VA clinic, and there are all kinds of paintings and artwork and drawing and what have you on the walls that have been actually created by veterans who have a talent that may not have ever been explored before. Many of them didn't have the time to think about art or whatever because they were busy trying to make a living for themselves and for their family. But the other thing is there is encouragement to those fellowship-type groups, veterans who get together for coffee. Well, you can't get a group together for coffee and they're not going to talk. And the fact is, when they talk about stuff that's important to them. You don't give them a script on what to talk about because they will bring it. They will start that, and then the rest of the gathering is already underway because they have determined that today we're going to talk about this. And in many instances, that conversation relieves them. There are people who, as a result of reducing their internal stress, have reduced their prescribed medication. And it's because the human body is put together so that body, mind, and spirit all work together. They're not separate components. You can send one off this way and one off that way. If you go to the doctor, male or female, the first thing they're going to do is look at your vitals. What's your temperature? What's your blood pressure? What's your respiration? And the common thing I see is, are you experiencing pain? We get those things, and the rest of the visit is going to be pretty much dictated from those. So if you have someone who, by virtue of being more relaxed and their respiration goes down, their blood pressure goes down, and I'm not talking about 5 or 10 points, it could go down 40 points, there is going to be an increase in their overall wellness. And if we know that the reason for the blood pressure increasing is because of the stress that they're encountering, then one of the things that needs to be prescribed is something to help them reduce their stress. Well, maybe for that group, and I can't even opine on how females relate to fellowship in the way that I can with men. And the reason is because as a man, I've been in fellowship with men for the 81 years. Even when I was a baby, I always celebrated the fact that I had men around me and men who loved me. So this thing of fellowship of men goes back a long way with me. But also, I could, on the list that I gave a few minutes ago, there are things that I can identify and tell you that I participated in, and they were fellowship gatherings or activities that were beneficial to me. Yeah, I wasn't I participated in sports in high school, study my lifetime. Games, cards are way up on the list for me, but games, I've been engaged in Bible study and a Bible study. Teacher, music, lifelong interest in music, fishing. Growing up near Lake Erie, fishing was something that was very readily available. Travel, family activities, yes. Cooking, I enjoy cooking. The study of history and culture, I spent a lifetime with that. Languages. Certainly, I studied Latin. There was a time when I was certainly much more fluent in Spanish than I am today. Reading. I had always had an interest in reading. I'm not and never have been an artist who could paint anything, but I can appreciate the talent of those who can. Gardening, collections. I've not restored a classic car, but I also can appreciate those who have. I've encountered them many, many times. There are many terms that are used in our society today that are kind of interesting because when I was a youngster, people went about doing things for good. One of the terms that I've encountered in my professional life was deliverables. What is it that this activity is going to produce? What do you mean? You say you want this contribution. Tell us what the deliverable will be if, in fact, it's financed, it is supported. Well, it's an interesting thing because in the political season and communities, one of the issues is levies. That's tax generated support for an activity. So, well, once it's there, you can't change it. It's going to be paid because it's going to be taken out of your tax payments. And unfortunately, in many instances, with very little discussion about deliverables, they promise that you're going to get it. And you say, well, when will we actually get a report on what was delivered? Well, in many instances, we never get a report. We just wait for the next levy or the request for that money. But I'm convinced that if people focus on reducing the time experienced in stressful situations and contribute at least a minimum of equal time in edifying situations and activities, there will be positive deliverables in their overall wellness. And the extension of overall wellness is that they will be more healthy. So,
good words, very good words. We're going to go to commercial and pay a few bills, but we are so thankful to have this kind of wisdom of the elders to share. And we'll be back with much more. after this.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We are so grateful that you have joined us today. We're always honored and blessed by our listeners. We know you could do anything else with your time and with your energy and the fact that you choose to spend it with us. It's an honor, and we're grateful. And it's also an honor to have with us today our guest, Wisdom of the Elders. It's always an opportunity to learn from our elders. And so I'll ask you, would you please introduce yourself to us once again?
I am Judge Grady Pettigrew, a retired judge and retired lawyer, who also a veteran of the U.S. Army.
Mm. Thank you for your service, and thank you to veterans of all eras. We love our troops. We love our veterans. We thank all of you for your service. We are so grateful for you, and we thank God for you, truly. Well, we have all learned a lot from you today, sir, and I know it's because you were willing to share with us some of your wisdom. And so I would like to just talk about some of the things that you have said and how helpful they are. Well, let's start with this. I think sometimes young people think that youth lasts forever. You know, we're always told to be healthy and told to do things that are keeping us healthy, but I think there's not always a real perception among young people that health and wellness means them. That time is moving for everyone, no matter what the number is.
Yes.
And so when you think about youth, people who are young right now, what's the best advice you can give them so that they can have a good old age?
Well, I think that when you're young, your body will often send a message. You have strength and endurance, and in many cases, there are things you can do that I know when you reach more advanced years, you will not be able to do. But protecting that tremendous asset, which is your youth. Unfortunately, I find a lot of young people who do not actually recognize the fact that it's grace. Not every young person is physically able, mentally able, or spiritually able. And the biggest problem I have is with that is the fact that there are so many counterfeit things in our culture. Counterfeit from the standpoint that it's not true, it is not edifying, and in many cases it ends up taking you in a terrible path that you will suffer from. When I look at people that I have known who decided that they were going to become wealthy by dealing and trading or selling drugs.
Oh, no.
And the penalty is 40 years.
Mm.
And guess what?
Mm.
There are so many downfalls in that that very few of them even live because of treachery. They even live to be successful. And then if they become so successful, there are people who are going to, they call them snitches, but they're going to go ahead and say, listen, in trade for you sending me to prison, I'll give you so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is true of substance abuse, that you have a tabernacle, a body you have that's healthy and strong, was a gift. Don't abuse it. Don't neglect it. And, of course, I would like to see all young people recognize that and pursue a positive plan for their youth.
Yes, absolutely. All of us. All of us. And so let's talk about all of us, right? Let's say that we've been listening to you right now and our friends realize that, you know, maybe they haven't prioritized health and wellness. Maybe, you know, people have to work very hard these days. You know, family, both parents are working. People have two jobs, sometimes three. All these other pressures may have caused people to put their health and wellness on the back burner. You know, they want to get around to it, but then they can't, and they're too tired, and they've got all these pressures and stress. What would you say, how would you advise someone who right now realizes, it's time to prioritize health and wellness?
Well, the first thing is much of the beneficial activity is really very low cost.
Mm-hmm.
The activity of walking is very low cost.
Mm-hmm.
There's a recommendation that there's a significant health benefit from as little as a 10-minute walk after your evening meal.
Mm-hmm.
A 10-minute, not 3 hours, not 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true of earlier in the day. There is a benefit to simply sitting and having a cup of tea, caffeinated or not, and actually collecting yourself. Recognizing your physical limitations. You mentioned people work into it. I just shake my head because I never could understand how people had the physical endurance to work the kind of hours that we know people are working now. And the reasons you gave, the fact that the prices have gone up and the wages have stayed stagnant for decades. That doesn't even make sense. But that's what people have to live with. So when I look and say, okay, your choice is to go to a sporting event where the tickets are $100 or to visit a free sporting event and support friends, family, whomever, community, at a sporting event that may end up being just as entertaining for $3 or whatever the cost of gasoline is to get there. I would say, why don't you choose the local sporting event that in many cases is, like I said, quite entertaining.
I am so impressed by your work with fellow veterans. I think that is so important, that you are working with veterans, that you're giving back, caring about our veterans who are so precious to us. We thank every veteran for your service, every troop member currently serving for your service. And so I want to give you the mic just for a couple minutes here and let you speak some encouragement and some uplift and some help into the lives of your fellow veterans right now?
Well, one of the biggest problems that veterans encounter is, in some cases, it's almost an issue of jealousy. But the criticism that I had a fellow tell me years ago, you know, well, I never served, but I wanted to, but I never got the opportunity. What? Veterans are, in most instances, totally aware of what their commitment was when they, in my case, it was they stepped forward. When the oath was administered, the question the officer asked was, if you are prepared to swear your oath to the U.S. Constitution and to enter service, step forward. So the distinction there, if you did not step forward, you weren't prepared. If you did step forward, you were, and then you voiced the oath and inserted your name. It wasn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, I, Grady L. Pettigrew, that was the way in which it was done for me. And the conversations I have, that's the experience of veterans that I know. The second part of it is, though, that the when we look for issues of similarity and support, what I see is when veterans encounter a person in need, especially when they're a veteran, they say, how can I help? Veterans First Foundation started on the basis of there were veterans identified as who needed help, and so what are we going to do? We're going to implement a strategy for helping them. No, there's not enough money in the world to take care of every situation. But in most instances, any of it starts with listening. When that person wants to tell you about their life experiences or what's happening right now, as a group, I find the veterans are willing to listen. And then, after listening, share the resources that they're aware of. Which can include someone who has more expertise than they do. So, well, listen, I know so-and-so. Let me give you their number, or let me call them and have them reach out to you, because that's something that we think that can be dealt with. But you may need a little more help on it. We have serious issues in our country. We have people who are serious about being helpful, and we have people who have tragic limitations on what it is they can do about their own issue. One of the most serious issues for me when I served in Vietnam was the fact that we had young soldiers who were exposed to a country and culture where there were no limits on drug use. And they were exposed to marijuana that grew in tropical climate and was more powerful than the stuff they had encountered in the United States back in the 60s. And so did it create problems? Absolutely. Now, we can have a whole lot of discussion about why in the world they were sent there. These aren't people who are on vacation. And they were in stressful situations, which included their being wounded and, in fact, their fellow soldiers being killed. And so it was a very, very difficult environment. But our medics tried to encourage them to stay away from that stuff. So at any rate, when we look at what veterans do, veterans respond to veterans, and I have to say, of all eras, I treat World War II veterans, and there aren't that many of them left, but I also treat Korean War veterans with a great deal of respect because they stepped forward.
Yeah.
They weren't hiding out and giving excuses. They stepped forward. And the other part of that is, of course, they survived.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for stepping forward. And thank you to all who stepped forward. And so as we think about this wisdom and we think about how to apply it to our own lives and how to walk in it, I want to ask you what the rest of us can do to help our precious veterans. What can we do? Those of us who maybe didn't serve or were younger people or whatever, what can we do that is helpful to veterans and their families?
Well, one of the most important things in our culture, not just as relating to veterans, because remember, veterans have families and they're just a network or web of people who are involved, is to pay attention. Pay attention to what are the issues? What is going on with this group? Right now, there's some national discussion about homeless veterans. In many communities, that is addressing the needs of homeless veterans is a priority. But it doesn't get to be a priority until other community members say, we're going to work to do something about that. And the other situation is it true? It has been an unfortunate development for me to see the number of stories that are spread, that are broadcast, that are in fact promoted, that are just not true. Any report of huge contributions to veterans organizations, and then you find out later that it was a scam, that it was a fraud. Whoever becomes aware of that needs to turn the resources in the community against that kind of activity and say, let's get back to, is it true? Who are these leaders? There are leaders who are purported as being veterans who never served. Who are the people who make up this particular organization or plan? And then when it's investigated, find out they're not people with any real credibility. We need to know that it's true. And then I said it earlier concerning what happens with veterans listening. It's important for our extended community to listen to the real people. What is it? And real veterans. What is it that you know, you see, you need, and you're willing to commit to? And those are the kinds of things that I would recommend that everybody needs to pay attention to.
Well said. Absolutely well said. As we start to close this Wisdom of the Elders Beyond Beautiful conversation, I want to make sure that we have some action steps for health and wellness that all of us can apply, all of us can start to do immediately. Can you help us with that, please?
Well, the fact of the matter is that for a long time, people have known that we are, human beings are what they consume. Mm-hmm. That's not just diet.
Mm-hmm.
If a person consumes excessive alcohol, it's going to have an impact on their overall wellness. Mm-hmm. If they consume trash in the form of publications and news and broadcasts and all that, their mind is going to be affected in a negative way. And if they don't honor the needs, the basic needs, fresh air and water and so forth, they're going to be asking the machinery of the human body to function at a much lower level than it is capable of. What I recommend is that people look back to the basic truth. We have had for centuries, and maybe even longer, a total awareness that fresh food, fresh and clean water, fresh air, are all beneficial. But in addition to that, most of us know that actually consuming true and honest information is beneficial. There are a lot of concepts. I find it amazing to see things on the internet that say that if you get this particular pill, it will guarantee you total good health and so forth. And you look at it, and I don't know if this is true. It's been many of these are characterized as bait. Clickbait. If you get on there, these things will say, they're going to tell you about it, and you say, well, how long does it take? Oh, 20 minutes. Well, the fact of the matter is, if there was a story that they really wanted to tell you, it wouldn't take 20 minutes. But the point of it is that it's actually there to keep you on that website so somebody can get all your personal information or data, whatever. The point of it is that there are things that are basic. They used to say a simple thing is, you know, what did your grandmother teach you? I know now grandmothers come in much younger vintages than when I was a youngster. But my grandmother's big thing was in terms of what you were doing. If you did something that wasn't agreeable to the family, she said, we are not that kind of people. You can't not perform well in school because we're not that kind of people. You can't go out not appropriately or properly dressed. You can't go around dirty because you represent this family. There are just so many components. But the fact of the matter is, people today and people of old need to go back for those basic, honest values and traditions and pursue them in a genuine light. So that's what I look for wellness, for peace, for calmness. I had look at a children's book, and it said the title of it was Quiet in My Body. And I think, wouldn't I wish that on so many people, that you would be quiet in your body?
And health and wellness can certainly help with that.
Absolutely.
And so can balance, because what I keep hearing in everything you're saying is balance. It's all right to be informed. We're not telling you not to know anything. It's all right to partake of, you know, things you enjoy, you know, foods you enjoy, and balance them out with maybe healthier foods and exercise. And so at every level, I see balance as part of the health and wellness message that you're bringing us. And I'm so grateful, because balance brings peace. Balance brings quiet in our bodies and our minds.
Yeah.
And balance brings wholeness and unity to our relationships and friendships. And so health and wellness and balance are great lessons and certainly great wisdom. We love you very much. We appreciate you. We thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service. And all of our friends who listen, spend some time with your elders, right? I mean, elders are precious treasures, precious resources. My granddaddy used to say you could learn things two ways. You could make mistakes or you could make mentors. And so please spend time with your elders. You know, listen to them. Learn from them. Write the stories down. Listen to their wisdom and their knowledge. And find that balance, that peace in your own life as well. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you to our sponsors, our donors. We need a miracle every month, and every month we've been getting one. And so thank you so much to all of you who make this program possible, who make this podcast possible. We are so grateful to you and for you. We love you. And we thank you, and we look forward to when all of us are together again for another conversation with Dawn Karima. See you next time.